You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org. Here's Pastor Greg Mott.
Today is a special day that we've been alluding to, and we've been going back saying to you over and over, because today is the ending, the closing of our capital campaign. 3 years ago, we started a capital campaign with the goal of raising $20 million. And so that was our goal 3 years ago, and some of you weren't here from that, for that start off, and that's okay. You jumped in along the way. Some of y'all were here way before that start off. But this day is the day that we're concluding that, and those that still haven't fulfilled their pledges, they can continue to give. That's wonderful. But just to have a time of celebration, so we're today going to tell you the exact amount of money, the number raised, that's exact money that's been able to come in to be able to see all the things that God has done. So I want you, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalms. I'm kind of throwing you a curveball. We've been in John so much. You probably thought I was going to say John, but I want you to turn to Psalms 145. Psalms 145. What we called our capital campaign was be a part of the story. We wanted to declare to us that we were going to be a part of the story of God, that we weren't just going to be people that sit back on the sidelines and let other people be a part of the story. We wanted to be a part of the story of God. Do you know how wonderful the story of God has been to our church? Do you know how amazing that you're involved and that I'm involved in this story of Houston's First Baptist Church? In 1841, just 5 years after Texas had gained independence from Mexico, 5 years after Texas gained independence from Mexico, 16 people got together and they started Houston's First Baptist Church. That's our history that goes all the way back to 5 years after we parted from Mexico. The first sermon ever preached in the city of Houston, it was just tents on the bayou. And a missionary had come down to pastor our church, and someone said, well, you know what? We've never heard a gospel sermon. He said, well, you're going to hear one today. And he stepped up and he preached the first gospel sermon, the first evangelical message ever given in the Houston, Texas, with tents on the bayou. That was our first pastor. That's the kind of story that we're a part of. God has been doing amazing things through that. In the 1800s, the first capital campaign, some of the stories are a little bit funny. The first capital campaign, the first gift given was by a lady named Mrs. Piety. Isn't that a great first name for a church-going woman? Mrs. Piety Hadley gave a mule that could be auctioned off. That was her gift. But isn't that what it's supposed to be about? Well, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have anything in the bank. But I got a mule, and I want to be a part of the story. I want to be a part of what God's doing. So in the 1800s, this lady gives a mule because she wanted to be a part of the story. You're a part of the story. I'm a part of the story. Back from the 1800s, a part of the story. In 1840, we got a new instrument. It was called the devil's instrument, is what people began to call it. You know what that was? Some of y'all are saying electric guitar. No! It was organ. The organ was considered in 1840 to be the devil's instrument. So we showed up at church. I wasn't there. You weren't there. But they showed up at church one Sunday, and the organ was gone. Somebody had stolen the organ. To get the devil's instrument out of the church, they stole the organ. They didn't find it for another 40 years until they dredged Buffalo Bayou to create the ship channel. And in the dredging, there was the First Baptist Church's organ in the bottom of the bayou that they were dredging. Somebody had taken it and stolen it and thrown it out the window or out the into the bayou. What an amazing story of kind of crazy things as well. In the 1900s, there was a hurricane that swept through Galveston. It wiped out Galveston. If you kind of know anything about your Gulf Coast history, Galveston was obliterated. Lots of deaths. Terrible tragedy. It came into Houston. Well, the capital campaign to build that church house with the mule, the church house was gone. The hurricane wiped out the entire building. But here's the thing, the people of First Baptist Church, they didn't believe that the church was a building. They believed that the church was a body. That it was the body of Christ, it was the people of God. It wasn't just a building. We got a lot of buildings and we're grateful for them. But it wasn't the building, and the building was wiped out, gone in the 1900s hurricane. So they began meeting in a dance hall in early 1900s, First Baptist Church. Pretty interesting, isn't it? They said, we'll worship any place we can worship. We're going for it with Jesus. We're going to go after it. We're going to have God do his work. Throughout our history, we were a part of starting the Star of Hope, part of starting the Baptist Hospital System, which is now the Memorial Hospital System, part of starting Baylor, part of starting a school of nursing here in Houston. We've been a part of a lot of different things. God has used this church in tremendous ways. In 1977, we left downtown, sold that property, and then came out here. This was way out in the boonies. And here we sit now at this time, and we are a part of the story since 1841. Are you a part of the story personally? In the faith of Jesus Christ, have you come to know Christ as your Savior? Are you a part of God's story? If you're a believer in Christ, are you sitting on the sidelines? Are you a part of God's story? Because here's the deal, and catch this. If you only catch one thing all day, this is a great thing to catch. The goal of Christianity is not to get God to be a part of your story. It's to have you be a part of His story. Your story is over in a few decades. It's over. It's a breath, James tells us. God a part of your story is not a big deal. You a part of God's story is an amazing deal. And our church is not asking God to be a part of our story. We're saying we want to be a part of your story. Since 1841 and beyond, we want God to do His work. And so we are a part of the story. And if you're not, you're invited to be, because the only way you're going to live a great life is to be a part of a great story that comes from a great God. We're going to look in Psalms chapter 145. And this psalm is an amazing psalm. It's a psalm of David. It's called a psalm of praise. Now, that doesn't sound very foreign to us, but it's actually the only psalm that's called a psalm of praise. And it's an acrostic that goes all the way alphabetized in Hebrew from A to Z. It's basically saying, I'm going to praise you for everything, God. We're going to go from A to Z. Now, we won't see that in our Bibles because we're not reading from a Hebrew Bible. But if you were to look in a Hebrew Bible, that's how it would flesh out. So we're going to see in the Psalm of Praise that God has got a story. And David is praising God for his story. Now, what's interesting, he's not praising for just one certain thing that happened. He's praising just for the whole deal. So let's look at verse 1, Psalm 145, and we're going to read verse 1 through 3. And you might want to, I wrote in my Bible, be a part of the story celebration, January 21st, 2011. I just put that because I want to remember it forever. So if you want to write that at the top of Psalm 145, you can do that. Verse 1, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. It's a long story. Verse 3, great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Underline this if you write in your Bibles. His greatness no one can fathom. He says, I'm going to praise you every day. I'm going to praise you forever and ever because you are my God. You are the King, not just my King, the King. And I'm going to praise you. Praise beginning every day. Praise for the church, or from the church to God. We have an opportunity as this local body to praise with the entire church around the world today. David is saying here, Lord, I'm praising you for everything that I have. Now, how would you define praise? The Expository Dictionary of Bible Words defines it like this. Praise is linked with the believing communities, that's the church, praise is linked with the believing communities' joy in the person of God. We praise because you and I get arm in arm together as the believing community, and we say, look at God, He's amazing. It goes on. Most praise comes from those who are filled with a sense of joy in who God is and how deeply committed He is to His people. So praise is when the people of God come arm in arm and look towards the person of God and realize how deeply committed He is to His people. That He is for us, He's in us, He loves us. So we respond and say, I want to be a part of your story, Lord. I want to be a part of a great story. I'm not trying to get you to be a part of my little bitty story. I want to be a part of your huge story. God's story is great. God's story is great. That's why we praise. That's why we praise. And in just a few moments, when we celebrate, in just a moment, we'll celebrate if we reached our goal. We'll celebrate if we surpassed our goal. Because the story of God is great. It's mighty. It's tremendous. And so we say, I want to be a part of the story. Not a capital campaign only. I want to be a part of the story of God that fleshes itself out in a capital campaign. Now look at who is a part of the story in verse 4. One generation will commend your works to another, and they will tell of your mighty acts. Now notice in verse 5, 6, and 7, there's going to be a they and an I. Watch this. So one generation, verse 4, will commend your works to another, and they will tell of your mighty acts. Now watch it in verse 5. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I, personal, will meditate on your wonderful works. They, corporate, will tell of the works of your awesome works, the power of your awesome works. And I, personal, will proclaim your great deeds. Verse 7, they will celebrate your abundant goodness corporately and joyfully sing of your righteousness. God's story includes every generation. God's story includes every generation. So being a part of the story is every generation. We've said it before on our staff that it's omnigenerational, all generations. It's intergenerational, all generations working together. It's God putting all of these things together. So he says in verse 4 that one generation will commend your works to another. Do you know that through this be a part of the story of these 3 years, we've needed every single generation? We've needed old, we've needed young, we've needed in between. We've needed every single generation. We wrote names on all of the floor, all the way around the cross aisle. There's thousands of names. So much that we had to rip up the carpet on the end of the stairs so that we could write more names. We painted over that probably 20 times. So it's just names upon names that people were praying for to come to the Lord or to come back to the Lord if they're a prodigal and running from God. But one of the names that was written on the floor, this is the email that I received. When given the opportunity, a daughter writing this, when given the opportunity to write my dad's name on the floor of the worship center, I almost didn't do it. I won't lie, it seemed a little hokey to me. I mean, I've been praying for my dad for years, and that wasn't going to change. Anyway, something told me to go ahead and do it, and I was actually a little emotional when I wrote his initials on the floor. It is with joy that I inform you that yesterday, my 76-year-old precious father gave his life to Christ. Is that amazing? 76 years old, every generation. We've written names in our children's building over there that we're praying for those kids to come to Christ. We need every generation. In Sunday school time, the fifth graders, which now the fifth graders are now eighth graders. This might be some of y'all now over there as middle school students, but this was when they were in fifth grade, and they were in a man named Obie Langford's class, other teachers there, but Obie was the main teacher. Obie's been teaching children in our church for 47 years. I hadn't been doing anything for 47 years, right? Amazing. That's the work of the church, though. You find your place, you plug in through thick and thin, you're involved. So 47 years he's been teaching these kids. And so they got to this time of the capital campaign, and we gave them all little banks. And those Sunday school teachers got together with their own money and decided they were going to give each kid a dollar. So 40 kids, $40. So they'd have something to put in their bank to kind of be the first fruits. And they talked about Matthew 25, the giving of the way of the talents, and how you would take those talents and you'd expand them. And then we were going to bring these boxes back in a little while, a couple weeks, and we were going to then offer it on the first fruit Sunday that we had a few years ago. So every kid got a dollar. They ran out excited as they can be. They put a green ruler on the wall with construction paper of 18 feet. Every dollar that was raised, each kid got to put a sticker when they raised a dollar, and they put it there. And so the kids ran off. They came running back in the next Sunday. And the next Sunday, one kid said, "You're not going to believe it. I got $100. We had a garage sale. I sold a bunch of stuff. I sold my mule, if you will. And now I got $100. Other kids, bake sales, car washes, allowance that they would give, gift money that would come in that they would give. Instead of taking it for themselves, they would give it away. So they kept going along. Well, one of our deacons found out about it and said, "You know what? Whatever those kids raise, I'll match it." Because Obi was his Sunday school teacher when he was a little guy and led him to the Lord. So he said, "I want to give back." That's the kind of story we're a part of in this place. And so I want to give back. So he said, whatever they raised. So they kept going and they kept going. They kept going. Well, they filled up the 18-foot ruler. And one kid, they were learning about David and Goliath in the subsequent weeks. They had Goliath on the wall. And this kid said, "Let's go all the way to Goliath. Let's just make that ruler go all the way around the room. Can't you hear? It's like, give me some stones and a slingshot. I'll take him out." They went and they raised over $1,000 as fifth graders to be a part of the story. The ruler stretched around. It wasn't 18 feet. It ended up being 84 feet long. And went all the way around the room as these fifth graders came. I remember it and put their offering up here of $1,000. We need every generation, the fifth graders. I mean, there's some folks that make $100,000 a year that don't give $1,000 to anything. The fifth graders. A 76-year-old man comes to Christ because of their faith. We need every generation. Now in church, our church, you know, maybe we're too staid for the young and too rock and roll for the old. But to be able to come together and say, we're going for the glory of God to let God do his work. Did you see what happened after those generations got involved? In verse 5, they will speak, and then it says, I will meditate. They will tell of the power, and I will proclaim. The corporate of they changes the steps of I. The corporate of they changes the steps of I. So in this moment, as we celebrate in a few moments, the day of celebration, as we celebrate, all of us, none of us could do this alone. We all stepped arm in arm and sacrificed. The corporate of they should change the way I live. When you see the body of Christ in action, it should change the way you live. In just a big moment, we're going to have a they moment in just a moment. It's going to be a huge they moment. But that they moment is not about money. It's not about digits. It's not about buildings. It's about changing I. They proclaimed and I meditated. They told of the power and then I proclaimed the power. They celebrated with joy. We all celebrated together. This is what happened 3 years ago. We said we want to be a part of the story. And we had four goals. We were going to raise $20 million was our goal. We were going to do four things. We were going to renovate this worship center. We've done that. You remember the red, some of y'all that were here? I'm trying to forget it, but I remember it. Red everywhere, things breaking, stuff like that. It was great. I'm not disparaging it at all. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it served its purpose in its time, and we built upon the shoulders. So we were going to rebuild this worship center. Secondly, we're going to have capital improvements all around our church. We're going to do a lot of stuff that wasn't fun, just things you don't see to keep the air on type of things. But also, we're going to do some things that are really neat and redo our fitness and recreation center. We're going to build some worship rooms for our kids. We had to actually build two of them because it caught fire so much. Everybody just went after it, and the kids began to pack it out, so we had to build two of them. So we did things like that with just capital improvements around the church. We were going to pay off our long-term debt. We're going to get out of our long-term debt and pay that off. Not real exciting, but real exciting. Then finally, we were going to give to missions 10% of whatever came in. We were going to give it away. There's not a lot of fundraising. They say, whatever comes in, 10%, we're actually going to give it away. So we gave it away in Kenya. We gave it away in India with orphanages, schools, rescuing kids. We built water wells. We did all sorts of different things all over the world. We went into New Orleans and rebuilt a church ruined by Katrina. We did things here in Houston, giving food and clothes away and redoing the food pantry. I mean, we did tons of stuff, lots and lots of stuff. So a redone worship center, capital improvements, retire the long-term debt, and then give away in missions. And we took off, I mean, on fire. Yeah, we're going to do it. And then the economy fell out from underneath us. And then the worst economy that any of us have ever seen in our lifetime. We said, Lord, we don't trust in donkeys or elephants. We trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, Father, we're going forward with you, and we're going at it. And so then, as we did all these things, our children in preschool ministry, we were ready for it to grow about 5 to 10% a year. We were ready for that. We were going to just put some paint and carpet, change some things around. In 2 years, our children in preschool grew by 35%. Amazing, yes. So that we couldn't just go in there and paint and carpet, it wasn't going to fit. We decided we're going to build another building next to it is what's happening out there. So not only have we stepped out on $20 million, we're about to step out on several more million in the bad economy time. And we looked at it and looked at it and had every expert look at it. And I remember distinctly, I'll never forget it as long as I live, standing out there on the front walk. I stood there with some staff, some leaders, and the architects. And there comes this moment when you're the leader where everybody kind of looks down the table and says, Pastor, what do you want to do? We've looked at it 100 times. What do you want to do? I stood there and I said this exact phrase, let's do it. Let's do it. And we stepped out in faith. How could we not do it? God's bringing us kids. How can we not do it? We stepped out in faith for more, millions more, and said, Lord, we're going to pray harder. God, we're going to trust deeper. God, we're just going to call all these new members to come, and they're going to jump in and be a part of the story too, because we're all a part of this deal. And so we stepped forward and went for it, and God has done amazing things. But one of the greatest things that's happened has been this missions giving. We have all gotten so much joy out of giving money away because we declared in the beginning we're not going to be people with nice stuff getting nicer stuff. That's not what our church is going to be about. We're going to be people that also are giving away. So in just a second, I'm going to show you a 2-minute missions video that we could show you a 22-minute one, but we're going to show you 2 minutes just giving you snapshots. And here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to just sit back and go, oh, that was a neat video. How do they do that? That's so cool. I like that song. That's not what we're doing. I want you at that moment to be looking at that video. I want you to look into the eyes of those kids. I want you to see their clothes. I want you to see where they live. I want you to breathe it in as if you are there and you are on the street with them. And then let the resounding aspect of your heart is that you were a part of the story of reaching out to them. And then you just go, yes, yes. As the video's rolling, we're going to have folks that are going to come out here and they're going to have signs. And just as we started way back 3 years ago, we had signs that we flipped over numbers that showed us how much money came in, or how much money was pledged. And now we're going to show the exact digits of what exactly has come into this point. So we're going to watch this missions video to get us ready to celebrate. So at the end of the missions video, wipe your tears and start just cheering on behalf of the Lord, because God has done some amazing things. And let's watch this with our hearts. I want to be a part of that story. That is an amazing story. Here's what we're going to do. Is we're going to, it says actually God is great, not God is eat, but my podium's in the way. There you go. Hold up your G a little higher there. Is that Braden? There you go. Hold it up a little higher there. All right. This is going to start with the cents, okay? And we love you guys. We didn't put you here on strategically or anything. Right here, we got the pennies. And then it's going to go all the way forward. This could be kind of hundreds and kind of thousands. Then we're going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars here. And then we're going to get up here and get into the millions of dollars here on this side over here. And our goal was $20 million is what our goal was. Okay, I want you to keep that in your mind. $20 million was the goal. So I want you to get on your feet. Get up on your feet. And here's what we're going to do. As the scents begin to flip over, they'll kind of slowly flip them over. The applause should just kind of start, just kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger as we celebrate what God has done. So you ready? No. Are you ready? Can you believe it? $25 million. Everybody said, man, yeah. And I want you to know, it's not about the money. It really isn't. And please don't leave here and be like, I knew those mega churches were into money. I mean, the whole thing was, it is about the faithfulness and power of God using a group of people. If you wouldn't have given whatever you gave, that number would have been different. You would have changed that number by not giving. And I want you to hear from me. I am so, so, so proud of our church. I mean so proud of our church that we heard vision, we saw vision, and we stepped forward just as we've been doing since 1841. And so we want to be a part of that story. And I want you to feel the weight of what's taken place. And just one other weight. Is there anybody here that in this service that has been here since the downtown days? Anybody just raise your hand. All right, yeah, a couple up there. A couple, yeah, there we go. Beverly. We want to give them applause because they've been paying on the debt a longer time than you have. I promise that. Thanks to LaRue as our chairman of our capital campaign. Thank you for all that you did and your hard work. We spent many hours working together. We represent a lot of people working with us, so thank you. And Joe Calvert is our deacon chair. I want Joe to come out here with me, and we all give him this round of applause. Good man. What we're going to do is we knew that we were going to pay off the long-term debt. That was a part of the deal. But here's where we are, guys. The building that we have not even moved into yet is paid off, and we are completely debt-free. Completely debt-free. Yeah! Woo! So we're going to burn this note, and for those of a younger generation, a note means you owe people stuff. This is like a credit card is what this is, okay? And for those of you that are up to your ears in debt, be encouraged as the they can change the I, okay? God can do his work. And so let's just celebrate with everything we got as here we are burning it up right there. There it goes. And as we just give one more clap. Good stuff. Amazing. Here's what we're going to do, guys. Here's what we're going to do. We have celebrated. We're going to get on our knees right now, and we're going to thank Jesus Christ. If you are physically able right now at this moment to get on your knees, I want you to get on your knees and join Joe and I as we get on our knees as well on stage. Because there is not one of us that could do this, and we must stop and say, Lord, we come on our knees before you, Jesus, and we give all glory to you. And we tell you we are so grateful, God, that people from the 1800s had vision. People in the 70s had vision. We are standing upon their shoulders. And Lord, so we don't come with some kind of pride that we took the ball from the 3-yard line into the touchdown, and We're the heroes, Lord. People have put it onto the 97 yards down the field for us to be able to do that. And so we come, Lord, and on behalf of folks that are dead and in heaven right now, that have tithed, may we find an example in them to my generation. We really just spend. We don't give. And I pray, Jesus, that you would just hear our gratitude as at this moment we stand here debt-free in a building that we haven't even put a spot of carpet in yet. It's still yet to come, but you've done immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. So you may you always find this church quick to get on our knees and give glory to you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the missions giving. We thank you for this wonderful room we worship in. We thank you for the things you've done around our campus. We thank you for the children's building and children that are not even here on planet Earth will be saved in those rooms and hear about Jesus. And we tell you, we are grateful people. May our posture, our praise, and our words declare our gratitude to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand back up and be seated if you would. An amazing, amazing thing that God's done. Just put it right there. Wow. Are you glad you came this morning or what? I mean, God's story is great. God's story includes every generation. If I forgot to give you the blanks because I was too excited. And one last thing for us to be able to say, and it's, you don't have to open your Bibles again, but just to hear. In verse 15 of Psalm 145, it says, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time." The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. Eyes on him all the time. Needs provided in his time. Eyes on him all the time. Needs provided in his timing. So as we get to this place where now we celebrated being debt free, we conclude the end of the capital campaign, there's a lot of you, many of you, that you still have your pledge out there that you want to fulfill that. Now, how did we surpass our goal without fulfilling all the pledges? New members stepped in that had not made a pledge and said, "This is my church, and I want to be a part of the story." And so if you're not a part of the story, because we started it before you got here, be a part of the story. If you're waiting, if you're still journeying on fulfilling your pledge, continue to do that. First of all, because you asked God to give you a number, honor God with that. If it takes you 30 years, you honor God with that and say, "Lord, I'm going to be faithful. That's the kind of man I am. That's the kind of woman I am. That's what I want to be like. So I'm going to honor you. The economy took you out a little bit. That's okay. God knew how everything was going to go. You just take as long as you need to be able to do that." We continue to give. You know why? Because we continue to reach out. All around on this floor, we've got names. So we've still got a heart. We've got some things coming up, and don't worry, this isn't, we're starting Capital Campaign 2, you know, 10 minutes after we finish Capital Campaign 1. That's not what I'm doing. But I want you to know that we still need to be faithful in this way. We have had a lot of children's growth. Well, you know what? They all got parents. And we've had an increase in our Bible study. Last week's Bible study, from, if you take a year ago to last year, or excuse me, last year to this year, just last week's, so does that make enough sense? So last weekend, if you rewound that a year, we grew by 700 people in Bible study on Sunday morning in 1 year. So we need to be able to upgrade. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. We need to increase and upgrade our Bible study space for adults. We've been doing the right thing. We've been pouring it into the kids. That's what we should do. And now it's time we need to make sure we get it all taken care of for the adults as well. As we said earlier in the service, we're moving the 6:30 evening service to 5:30 so that we can have more of you folks come from the morning to go out there and to step out. We need to be able to step out in that kind of vision. We always are looking at parking solutions and praying and asking God to do his work. Those solutions are very, very expensive. So we need to step forward and to be able to say, "God, we want you to use you with that." This is the first time you will have heard this, and this is pretty neat. When we moved out of downtown, out here in the boondocks, is what it was then, in 1977, The folks on that committee of our church had the foresight to do this. They signed a contract with the people that bought it for a skyscraper. They said, we want use of the bottom floor of this skyscraper for the next 99 years. For the last 30 years, we've been having a downtown Bible study. David Self leads it every Wednesday at lunch. 200 plus folks come. It's an amazing thing. Well, we pulled out the file, and we have rights to use that same room on Sunday morning. So we are praying towards and working towards planting a downtown campus down there to go to the same spot where we were to reach out again to the downtown community. So we got vision. We got vision, and we're all part of a great story. And some of you in a year might be sitting at that downtown campus, stepping forward in faith, allowing that to happen. And lastly, and most importantly, we're going to continue every dollar that comes in for Be a Part of the Story Capital Campaign. Every pledge, every one of them, it's going to still have 10% that goes to missions. That's just going to be, we're committed to that, of letting that go forward to be able to do that. So keep giving and keep stepping forward, because here's the reason. We're not going into a bunker. We're not going into a place where we're just going to get down into some bunker and go, okay, now we're debt-free. Now we're going to hold off. Okay, don't do anything new. No more vision. The reason we've got more vision is because every step I'm taking on this carpet, I'm stepping on hundreds of names of people we've been praying for that don't know the Lord yet. And as long as there's people who don't know the Lord and their names are written on this floor and written on our hearts, then we are going to ask Jesus to give us new vision, and we're going to step forward arm in arm, and the they is going to change the I. So we're going to keep a part of it and keep the vision going. Because right here in this section, I wrote my two children's names down, and only one of them's come to the Lord so far. I'm praying that the other one will come as she gets older. My neighbors who have not come to the Lord are written right here where I'm standing. They've come to the Christmas celebration, but they hadn't come to Christ yet. And so we still go arm in arm because we're still a part of His story. And it hadn't ended. We're just a part of it. So if you're here today and you want to be a part of this story and join our church, we're going to sing in just a second. And you better come running, because we're not going to sing forever. We already sang a bunch. But we're going to allow the gates to be open for you to be able to come and to be a part of this story. If you want to ask Jesus to be your Savior, if you want to be baptized, if you think God's calling you into vocational ministry or a missionary around the world, you come. If you want to pray at the rails, you come. But God has got a story. And they of the excitement should change the eye of how we live, so that now we step forward with even greater vision.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.